I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
Yeah, how about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I want to drive.
Just drive, baby.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
It is time for the Drive to the Close. Back with us is Aaron Kennan, co-founder, chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, over $700 million in assets under management. Aaron joining us on the phone from New York. Aaron, great to have you here with Jason and myself. So, interesting day. I mean, I feel like right now it's mostly all about earnings.
Yes, Carol. Thanks for having me back. I think you're right. Certainly, we've seen initial sort of wave of earnings. I think about 80 companies have reported. And what's interesting is the companies are beating analyst expectations, but the reality is when you look at the trend line year-over-year earnings growth, which is really the most important thing to look at, in my opinion, operating earnings are negative by about 3%. And I think that trend will probably continue through earnings season. So it's an interesting time. We have a strong dollar right now here in the United States, and of course the manufacturing data set, both home and abroad, have been extraordinarily weak. And I think there's been this sort of commentary suggesting that the consumer in the U.S. will remain immune in the midst of this further deterioration in manufacturing and industrial activity. And I sort of question that. You look at LEI, you know, leading economic indicator data recently, and that came in at near recession levels at only 0.4%. Growth year over year. Saw the home sales data today. That was somewhat weak. And jobs continue to job growth is occurring, but at a significantly slower pace. And of course, that's not a leading indicator. It's a lagging indicator. So we're a little cautious here on where what this all means for the U.S. consumer. Interesting times. And you layer that on with geopolitical uncertainty,
right.
Brexit today, and Turkey, Syria, and then, of course, the U.S. election is coming upon us, and Elizabeth Warren's comments today, and what this all means for regulation and taxation going forward. These are interesting times for sure.
All right, so let's talk about that, Aaron, because we were just talking with our colleague Alex Harris about this notion of the repo market drawing some attention from Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, and you know, one of the front runners certainly for the Democratic nomination, has been very vocal about Wall Street and her intention to change the tax structure, to think about private equity specifically, now the repo market. How do you model that out at this point? How candidly worried should Wall Street and investors be about changes under a potential Warren administration?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the market hasn't yet come to terms with her rising stars, not only as a nominee for the Democratic Party, but her potential to defeat the incumbent president. And I think if you look at tax policy, regulatory policy, and the like, expect a rather significant headwind. I will caveat that by saying, of course, Congress is our legislative branch, the House and
True.
The Senate, and we need to take a look at the Senate and the risk of the Senate shifting towards the Democratic Party. I don't have a good read on that at the moment, but I would say that an Elizabeth Warren presidency coupled with a House and Senate, both in Democratic hands, could be certainly a headwind for the equity markets. And I'm not making a political statement there. I think that whenever you have one party controlling both the House, the Senate, and the presidency, it generally hasn't been a great thing for the market, coupled with her own sort of strident views that are far from capitalistic and a bit more socialistic in nature. And so that's my spin on Elizabeth Warren at the moment.
So when do you start to make that trade?
Well, we're positioned somewhat cautiously in some sense. Even within asset classes, Carol, we're thinking about, well, what are the airbags or the buffers or shock absorbers that we can put in the portfolio at this juncture? Not only as we think about politics, but frankly, as we just think about the state of the overall economy. You have the Fed that has shifted gears somewhat dramatically commencing after November of last year, and the sort of don't fight the Fed mantra is out there again, and we generally support that view, but we do believe that we're entering an interesting period of uncertainty as it pertains to sort of political outcomes.
Aaron, one thing I do want to ask you, and actually there's a story in the magazine, it's all about the year ahead, so we're looking at kind of major themes that we've been dealing with and that are probably going to carry over into 2020. Of course, the elections is one of them. But, you know, we've been looking into this idea that we continuously create these walls of worry since the financial crisis and talk about whether, you know, we can get over it and what this means and the problems and so on and so forth. And we get over them and then we just kind of continue on with the market. What's the likelihood that we kind of continue in that vein?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think that there are another way of saying that, and something that the way I frame it is that there are always risks in the market that we can talk about. We can always talk about the glass half empty risks, and certainly they're always out there, and they always have been. They need to be balanced, and you know, take a look at the global equity market as an example. One sort of reality is that the U.S. equity market over the last 10 years has risen by, on average, 13.5% a year. Well, emerging markets have only, you know, averaged about a 3.5% return. So in the midst of this uncertainty, there are potential opportunities to contemplate, you know, where's growth going to be for the next 10 years, which parts of the world are going to be the beneficiaries of that growth, which sectors. I mean, certainly I'm not suggesting that if you think EM is the only growth area, you then go buy EM, because as we know, 43% of U.S. S&P 500 revenues are coming from outside the United States. And so there is a thesis that you can own U.S. companies and still capture some of these trends. But for sure, risks are always out there. They're always impacting markets. And I would just make one other comment, which is that risks that tend to hit the developed markets are perhaps worth looking at a bit more than risks that are hitting small, emerging, or frontier markets. And that's a bit of the paradigm shift that we're seeing on the geopolitical risk front. It's Brexit. It's the U.S. It's EU and the banking system. It's not the Thai baht crisis. It's not the Russian ruble crisis. It's not Mexican peso crisis. So in some sense, maybe these risks are worth monitoring a bit more intensely.
Yeah, that's some good perspective, Aaron. Really appreciate it. Aaron Kennan, he's co-founder and chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, over $700 million in assets under management. Aaron, on the phone from New York City. And